Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Bethley.
And we are the Youngs. Well, today concludes our series that we've been looking at for about 2 weeks now, almost 3 weeks, investing in your marriage. And today is part 14 of that, and we're sure happy that you've been a part of it. And our prayer is that these discussions have been helping your marriage to be stronger, your love to be growing, and your marriage to be sweeter. And I know if you'll apply God's word, that's exactly what will happen. Let's get started today in this final discussion in this topic. And so this is sensuality.
Right.
And oftentimes in the busyness of our life, we're running and running and moving and moving and going, and especially if both of you work, and you have kids with ball games and ball teams and after school events.
Or newborn babies.
There's all kinds of matters here that distract us. And
right.
You that are older, some of you, your kids are grown. You don't have a whole lot of demands, but the TV's on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you know everything going on in D.C. and what all the political parties are doing. But you don't know each other real well.
Right.
That's just where the power of sensuality comes in. Like, mm-hmm. for instance, touching, practicing the power of touch. Touch is a gift from God.
Right.
And it is a very powerful thing.
And
you know, our kids are different love languages. We have one of our kids in particular. His definite love language is touch. If he's watching a movie with you, he wants to be totally up against you, just
right.
full body, as close as he can get to you.
He wants to cuddle, and he's 6'3".
And he likes that. And if he's listening, he's in shaking his head, yes, that's what I want.
He shouldn't be listening to this one.
But if we have another son that, you know, he's very, his touch is selective. There'll be times
yes.
he'll come in and he'll want you to put mm-hmm. your arm around him.
Right.
He'll come in, there'll be times he'll want to lay on my shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's other times, and it's kind of a joke. The other night, we were watching a movie together, and I just kept reaching over and putting my arm on his shoulder. He was like, "What are you doing? I just wanted to touch you." And it was interesting to me how different he is from his brother.
Right.
So we're all different.
We are.
But, you know, there's something special about holding your wife or your husband's hand.
Absolutely.
That's touch.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting in church together, holding hands.
Mm-hmm.
Or sitting in church together and turning slightly sideways and putting your arm around your spouse.
Right.
In the old days, touch was huge in the sense that people would go on a drive
mm-hmm.
and we would have the front seats of the car. The
right.
bucket seats came along and they were not of God.
They separated
they
us.
They separated married people and dating mm-hmm. couples. But you could sit close together. The power of touch is just one way to practice
right.
sensuality.
Right. And I know there are some couples who are, that's just not us. Well, that's fine. Maybe you're not going to walk through the mall swinging your hands that are held together tightly or snuggled up together in the restaurant. But when you're home and you're on the couch, yes, you should remind each other that you do like to touch each other.
Yeah, that you're attracted to each other.
Yes.
Yeah. And I would even go so far as to say, you know, sometimes a couple will say, "That's not me," instead of "That's not us."
Mm.
But if you're aware that you're a wife likes touch and you don't touch her, mm-hmm. and you have a problem.
Right.
Or if you're aware that he likes to be touched, but you never hold his hand, then
yes.
you're being very selfish.
Very difficult.
And you're going to have problems mm-hmm. in your marriage.
Yes.
So this is sensuality, even mm-hmm. kissing.
Right.
This is part of marriage. Kissing can be a great determination of love.
Mm.
Like an awkward kiss. An awkward kiss says, "Oh, this is a relationship that could be improved."
Yeah, or something's wrong.
Or it would say that we never do this.
Mm.
You know, a couple that's getting married that's never kissed each other till they get to the altar, you would kind of expect it to be a little awkward.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've been married 20 years and you have to give a kiss to your spouse somewhere and it's awkward, then something needs to change there. A sweet kiss can be a sweet relationship.
Mm.
Or, you know, a passionate kiss would demonstrate a passionate relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And Beth and I try to remember to kiss often at predetermined times.
Right.
Like if, you know, even today I was going somewhere, mm-hmm. headed out, or maybe it was yesterday.
Yesterday, running some errands.
I was running some errands and mm-hmm. I came in to say, "Hey, I'm taking off." And my wife was cleaning the tub
mm-hmm.
and she stopped everything and said, "Hey, kiss me before you go."
Mm-hmm.
And so we had a little kiss there, just a goodbye.
It's just a little connection.
It's a sensual connection.
Yes, absolutely.
And God designed each of us with senses, and we all have different love languages for sure. But the touch, the taste, the seeing, the talking, mm-hmm. hearing each other.
Yes.
We often eat meals together as a family, and almost always do. And my wife has music playing. It is a mood. It sets a stage. Right. The candles, the smell, or even taking a shower. My wife will. My kids are always buying. When you have children, you always get soaps and whatever.
The lotions.
Lotions. Yes. And so my wife will often say, "Wow, you smell good." Mm-hmm. Or I will notice the same. "Wow, that lotion smells really good." Mm-hmm. That's about sensuality. So we should take care of ourselves for each other. Maybe even, a reminder here, we should go to bed clean.
Yes.
And
take a shower,
purchase candles for your room.
Yes.
Play music, use massage oil.
Yes.
There's all kinds of ways you can enjoy sensuality. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Make your room comfortable.
Absolutely.
Pleasing, and get a lock for your door.
And a fan that's very loud outside the door, if necessary.
Everything helps.
Yes, it does. So this is about romance. Mm-hmm. So we've talked about that romance is a lifestyle, not just a bed.
Right.
We're talking about practicing the power of sensuality.
Right.
And let's just jump in and say it. In a marriage, there should be the practice of sexuality.
Yes.
God designed human sexuality in a marriage relationship to bring a closeness that is unparalleled.
Right.
That is the culmination of a close husband-wife relationship. Mm-hmm. And God's intention is for it to bring great happiness,
right,
great satisfaction, mm-hmm. great depth. And there can be all kinds of issues in a couple's life, especially in our culture.
Right.
Maybe you've dealt with pornography in your past. Then there's a way to handle that. In your marriage, you've got to work on removing things in your mind that shouldn't be there.
Right.
You keep your eyes open when you are loving your spouse. You call each other by name. You talk to each other during lovemaking sessions.
Yes.
And if you need help, some physical situation, you see a doctor.
Right.
There's all kinds of things there. So this is just simply about practicing, tying together everything we've taught. When the role, when you're fulfilling your God-given roles. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I found an article, and Beth and I were talking about it just a moment ago. Sometimes people are like, well, it doesn't really matter that, we all live this biblical role. But I found an article by an economist who won a Nobel Prize for his study of the economic principles behind human interactions. It's a mouthful. His name's Gary Becker. And in reading the articles about his studies, he documented how, and this is his statement, this is not a Bible statement. This is a man who's an economist who's studying and doing research. He documented that the benefits of marriage receded as a woman's earning power rose relative to that of a man. And that's a really interesting statement because what happened in the 1960s and 70s and even 80s is that our culture rejected what we consider the biblical model for marriage. Mm-hmm. A husband who leads and provides for his family, a wife who partners with her husband. The Bible word there is submission, but it's a partnership. And she takes care primarily of the things of the home. And then all of that began to change as now we're two income families where mom works as much as dad, sometimes makes more money than dad.
Right.
And or the wife more than the husband. But it was interesting. He has documented that in the culture we live in where sexuality is kind of waning, people are not interested in sexual relations.
Right.
Which is so weird to even think about. Mm-hmm. If you go back into the 1960s, the celebration there was free sex. You just do it with everybody.
Right.
And the idea there was to undermine marriage. Now we've come full circle to where people just aren't interested in it.
Right.
And his whole point was, in studying this, that there were many non-financial benefits found in the way it was in the olden days. Hmm. Meaning the formation of a stable, intimate, he used that term, relationship with a spouse.
Oh, you mean it was a financial benefit?
It was a non-financial benefit.
Oh.
As women, they were not getting married. He says it like this, and I'll just read it. The women had often entered marriages for financial reasons.
Right.
In the old days, she married to have a man take care of her financially.
Right.
But the non-financial benefits that followed was the formation of a stable, intimate relationship and the sense of purpose that came with raising a family. Mm-hmm. And he said this is very interesting. These are things that no job, however lucrative, can deliver. Hmm. And my point being is that we live in a culture where the bedroom is joked about, laughed about, Mm-hmm. And in marriages, many times people sigh and roll their eyes about it, not interested. Right. Mm-hmm. We're here to tell you that based on the truth of God's word, you should be interested.
Absolutely.
It should be a normal, expected part of your marriage relationship. Mm-hmm. So here's a question for you. And Bethany and I will talk to you about this question. What is hindering your marriage intimacy?
Right.
Is it a failure to plan? When's the last time you scheduled a date?
Right. You're just flying through life and you're not thinking about connecting as a spouse, whether that be in your best friend relationship or in your intimate relationship. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You probably, are aware of the fact that time is necessary for intimacy.
Right.
Which is why you've heard of probably blizzard babies or hurricane babies.
Or COVID babies.
Or COVID babies. people are home and they have more time during a blizzard when everything mm-hmm. is shut down and they can't go to work or can't get out. Right. And many times married couples would make love during that time mm-hmm. and find out 9 months later after that blizzard, we're having a baby.
And well, they find out before that.
I've always kind of chuckled because Bethley's entire siblings were all born in the month of December.
Oh, yes.
So something happened in March in Ohio, apparently, that contributed to this.
Sorry, and, Mom. She's the one blushing now.
I hope my mom-in-law is listening to this. But the point being that it can hinder our marriages when we don't plan. This is an important part of the marriage, so plan it. Mm-hmm. Don't let busyness hinder your bedroom.
No.
Slow down. Slow down your life. Enjoy your marriage. Make a plan.
Right.
One of my friends had told me that he was lately has been coming home so stressed that he comes home and he's got so many things from his responsibilities and the work that he does. And he reached out to say, what can I do? I know my wife needs me and I probably need her, but I'm stressed. I'm frustrated. I'm worn out. And so just a simple, what could you do? And he and I, brainstormed a little bit there. Well, why don't you come home and take a 30-minute nap? Mm-hmm. Say to your wife, give me 30 minutes to just lay down and sleep.
Right.
God designed us weak.
Yes.
There's only so much we can do.
Right.
Everybody has to have sleep or your body shuts mm-hmm. down and you'll kill yourself.
And it's the same for mommies. If you are a mommy of a newborn or even just running your children or you're entering that perimenopausal time of your life, you absolutely should prioritize a nap.
Yeah. And you men help with that. If you're coming home from work and wondering why your wife is not romantic, but she's been home, with three kids all day or she's been working all day and coming home to two or three kids.
Right.
Then help with that mm-hmm. to send your wife to get a nap. Take mm-hmm. I'm going to take the kids. Take them for a walk. It'll be good exercise for you and connection with the kids.
Right.
Or bathe the kids while she has a little time to herself. Mm-hmm. And all of those can contribute to your romance.
Yes.
Our culture is downplaying it. So don't let busyness. Don't let a failure to plan. Mm-hmm. Don't let time wasters, you can do without TV mm-hmm. and survive.
Right.
But your marriage will not be what it ought to be without the bedroom.
Right.
And mm-hmm. you could, Facebook has its advantages, but if you never, ever again were on Facebook, you could survive.
Absolutely.
But your marriage won't be strong without the bedroom.
Right.
So these are good. Just some practical suggestions. Any mm-hmm. others there come into your mind, sweetheart?
Well, unresolved conflict.
Oh, yeah.
That will absolutely take away from your romance. Absolutely.
Every time.
Yes. If one of you has a little something in your heart towards the other, it's very difficult to be romantic. So talk those out. Get them done. Kiss. And as David put in the notes, make out.
You can forgive, kiss, make up, or forgive, kiss, and make out.
There we go.
And one of the great things about being married is that you can solve every fight when it's all said and done by going to bed together.
Yes, you can.
And that makes it a good way to end a conflict in a marriage.
Mm-hmm. It reminds you again of why you two are very important.
Absolutely. So we're coming to the end of our time here. And we've enjoyed talking with you about investing in your marriage, mm-hmm. about working on the roles and the responsibilities. Review those. Ephesians 5 mm-hmm. is simple.
Yes.
Don't let the culture undermine something beautiful that God has
right.
given us.
Mm-hmm.
And the relationship, that's a lot of work, but keep that love alive. Mm-hmm. Keep smiling at each other, dating, doing hobbies together, walking through life together, growing old happily together, serving one another. That's relationship, investing in that marriage. And don't forget romance. Emphasize it, prioritize it, enjoy it.
Don't let it die.
And if you need help, get it. You can reach out. If we can help you, we'd be glad to. There's books available. We could recommend some books that have been just amazing in our lives.
Yes, very helpful.
They helped us, and they'll help you. You've been listening to Keeping It Young, where we have conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. Thanks for joining us over these past few weeks as we've been talking about investing in your marriage. We sure hope this has been profitable and helpful, and that you will take what you've learned and apply it to your life. Look forward to next time as we're beginning a brand new series. It's entitled Conflict Resolution. And we think that'll be a great tool to help your marriage and your family to be stronger as well. In the meantime, remember, serve the Lord with gladness.
For more information or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or keepingityoungpodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIL Radio Network.